اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كل معرفته ورضعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تغاري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية من بتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده سبكت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب وقال الله تعالى أيضا وما كان الله ليعذبهم وهم وأنت فيهم وما كان الله معذبهم وهم يستغفرون صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This series of lectures on the subject of ingredients of spiritual success is coming to the end tonight. And tonight is the turn for the last of these factors which help us to get success spiritually as an end result of our life. And the last thing is istighfar, which means seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His mercy towards our mistakes and sins. This is something which is what I recall Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat rahmatullahi alayh saying, that istighfar is the recipe for every hajat. Whatever hajat and dua you have from Allah, remember that the key to all those hajat is our istighfar. And this is such a true statement, because nothing blocks our du'as from acceptance except our own sins. And if a person has this sense of responsibility towards Allah, that he always repents, then this person is successful. Prophet has said that the person who finds on the Day of Judgment and the book of his deeds, it is written beneath every sin that he did the tawbah for this sin. this kind of person deserves to be congratulated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, a security for this ummah of the Holy Prophet in the Holy Quran. And that security is mentioned in the ayat of Quran, which I recited in the beginning. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. As a matter of fact, these are two securities mentioned in this verse. The first segment of the ayat says that Allah is not going to punish them as long as you are in them. This shows the azamat and greatness of our Holy Prophet. As long as he's among us, he's there, this ummah cannot be punished. We find that so many crimes are committed nowadays by the people, and the crimes committed by the people today are no less than the crimes committed by the previous generations towards Allah. But the azab and wrath and torment of Allah is still not arriving because of this ayat of Quran. Because Allah has already said in the Holy Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَظِّبَهُمْ. Allah is not going to punish them as long as you are in them. So even if the Holy Prophet has departed, there is a member of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi
salam,
who is still among them, and he is from the Holy Prophet. And because of the barakat of the wujud and existence of this Imam, the punishment is not arriving on this ummah. And then the ayat of Quran moves forward and says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبْهُمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah is not a punisher of them while they are doing istighfar. So we learn in the light of this verse very clearly that as long as the ummah of the Holy Prophet continues to perform istighfar, they will be secured from the punishments of Allah. We are not ma'soom and infallibles. We make mistakes, but it's doable for us that at any time that we end up doing a mistake, we always go back to the straight path, come out of the hellfire and its flames. Sin is dragging us towards the hell. As soon as we do the sin, we are no longer on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. This has to be very clear in the minds that sin is not on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sin is in the hell. The ta'at and obedience of Allah is on the straight path. So as soon as a person commits the sin, he is not on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path of Islam. As long as we stay on the straight path, there is no room for a person to be on the straight path but still do the sin. So we get off the track. And that's why we get burnt with the flame of the fire straight away. And when we do the tawbah, we have Urafa who see the people when they do the tawbah, they see them coming out of the flames of the fire towards the straight path. They see it literally, they see those people literally coming out. So sin is not on the straight path. And this is something which is a specific attribute of the ummah of Rasulullah. We find in the hadith that Hazrat Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi bima faddalta ummata akhir al-zamani ala sa'ir al-umam. Oh my Lord, why? Prophet Musa said, why did you give fadilat to the ummah, to the nation of the final time, over all the nations? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back, بِأَشْرِ خِصَالٍ. So it's due to ten attributes. Due to 10 attributes, the ummah of the final time, which is obviously the ummah of Rasulullah, has been given fadilat and superiority over all the previous nations of God. And The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned to Prophet Musa was as-salat, because of the prayers. Now obviously salat is something our scholars say that it's not just our urafa say, that salat is not just a fariba and duty, but it's a ni'mat and blessing. We should not just consider the salat to be a fariba and duty on our neck. Sometimes if it's a duty, we may end up thinking, just get the burden off, just do it so we are no longer liable. So just get the liability off the neck. This is the behavior towards fariba. But if we realize that it's not just a fariba, it's a ni'mat and blessing of God, and we understood what blessing is hidden in that, we would not behave like this towards the prayers. That will give us a totally different perspective and pattern of behavior towards the salat. So we find in the lifetime of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he once said, he said salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He asked, and there were some bunch of companions and ashab present there, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam asked them, Ayyu ayatin arja fi kitabillah. Which ayat of Quran is provides the highest hope to the people, in other words. That means obviously there are ayat of Quran which, when you read those ayat and its contents, you end up attaching so much hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. But which of the ayat of those kind have the highest hope coming in our minds towards Allah? And the companions were sitting there and different people replied with different responses. Somebody recited this ayat of Quran, Ya ibadiyya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah, inna allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. O my slaves who have done israf on themselves. So sometimes we do a lot of sins. Sometimes people do sins and they repent. Sometimes they keep on piling up the sins, one over the other, and do not repent. Those are the people who have a lot of sins. Allah is still ready to forgive them. See, if we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the door of tawbah is always open. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't be disappointed from the mercy of Allah. Disappointment is from the mercy of God is considered to be kufr. Al-ya'su an rawhillah. This is kufr. It's not a Muslim who believes in God can never end up having disappointment in God. So somebody recited this verse of Holy Quran, Ya ibadiyya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Imam Ali did not agree with him. Somebody recited the next verse, another verse of Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsaliha. Whoever comes with a good deed, so he will get 10 times of that. 10 times similar to that. So 10-fold is of the reward, in other words. So obviously this is another rahmat of Allah when we do the niyat, an intention of doing a sin, the sin is not written down. Isn't that right? When we, God forbid, if we end up doing the sin, it is still not written down. Because hadith says, Ujjilatis asa'at. A person is given the margin, grace period of 9 hours. It's still not written down. So within 9 hours, if we do the istighfar and forgiveness, it's not written down. And when the 9 hours pass by and the person still did not repent and realize what he did, then obviously it will be written down. The angel on the right says to the angel on the left, how less is the haya of this person. And then finally it gets written down. But when it comes to the good deeds, look at the mercy of Allah. Not only we get the reward at the time we perform it, but at the time we make our niyat towards doing the good deed. We make arrangements and muqaddimat, we prepare the prelude for the good deeds. All those muqaddimat, you prelude, you get out of your house 9 a.m. and you have in your intention that I'm going to go such and such place and meet with this person and find out about another poor person, he's going to tell me. So all the distance that you go and all the people you talk to in the middle, unless you give sadaqah to that poor person, every step and every bit of your travel and arrangements to until you end up giving, every bit of the travel has its own reward. Not just the sadaqah and charity itself, which obviously has it, but every bit of the prelude of that also has its own reward, starting from your niyat and intention. So look at the comparison between a person plans for doing a haram and when a person plans for doing a good. So, but our scholars have mentioned in the light of this verse, "Man jaa bil hasanati." Our scholars say we should be able to bring one good deed to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. That means we should be able to manage to protect our deeds till the time of our death and aqibatul umur. Allahumma ij'al awaqiba umurana khaira. Oh my Lord, make the end result of my affairs of life to be khair and goodness. So I am successful in protecting the good deeds till the last breath of my life, and then I reach Allah with my good deed, I will get the reward 10 times.
Baba Jibla and Salat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What if I fail to protect my good deeds because of riya, showing off? Ujb! Khud pasandi! Considering ourselves to be a very nice guy, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, everything of me is okay, I am a very nice person. Just because I started to do a few good things in my life, I learned a little bit of the knowledges of Islamic teachings, and just because of that little bit, I become so much proud in my own mind about myself, that I think that now I'm a good person. I'm better than all or so many, and there's nothing wrong with me. This kind of feeling is such damaging feeling that, you know, basically it cripples a person spiritually and stops the spiritual advancement any further. So we find that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam once met Shaitan and asked him, tell me one sin that a person performs and then you're going to take over from there. In other words, I mean, then it is in your control. And Shaitan replied to Prophet Musa, that is ujb and khudpasandi, considering yourself to be good. If a person performs that sin, then now the reins of his life are in the hands of Shaitan. Whether he likes, he believes it or doesn't believe it, that's irrelevant. That's the way it is. You must understand and realize Islamic spiritual teachings are not left up to the mercy of people accepting or believing in it or realizing in it or not. That's the way it is. So we find that what I was saying is that when this second person recited the ayat, "Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amsaliha," our scholars have said under the tafsir of that ayat, we need to be able to manage our good deed reaching Allah. That means our end result of our life, till the last breath of our life, I maintain my good deeds. I don't waste them. This is where the key question comes, that how can we maintain? This is what we were discussing in these nights. So we maintain our spiritual success till the last moment. If you remember the first speech which I delivered, I mentioned to you the hadith of Prophet Isa, where he said that people say, in other words, that the foundation of a building is the stone number one. Whereas I say the foundation of the building is the last stone that you put, the end result, in other words. And that's so true. The end result of our life is the criteria. So we find there are so many people who used to do good deeds in their life, but look at their end results. So this has to be kept in our minds. I have read the hadith where Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said,
"Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Man qabila Allahu minhu hasanatan wahidatan lam yu'adhibhu. Whomsoever Allah accepts from him one good deed, Allah is not going to punish him." Look at the mercy of Allah. If one good deed of ours is accepted, we are not going to be punished. That again signifies the same point that our scholars were saying in Tafsir. We should be able to maintain the good deeds till the last end of our life. That's, this becomes, that's the key thing, and that's what makes it difficult. So we need to maintain that. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad.
Because shaitan is always trying to derail the human beings. Not to do the tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, look at that, Imam Ali says, al-nadmu tawbatun. If you just repent, then you don't even end up saying astaghfirullah orally. You just have nadamat and repentance in your soul. Imam Ali says, your repentance is tawbah. If repentance is tawbah, you just have repentance in your soul. That's the tawbah, that's the essence of tawbah. It's so true. That's so true. Imam Ridha alayhi salam saw one person saying istighfar. He said, Waihaka, you are, in other words, saying, on one hand you're doing istighfar, and also you're making fun of Allah. He said, I'm doing istighfar. Imam Ridha has the ilm of ghaib, you cannot deny the masoom. You cannot challenge what he says. Imam Ridha alayhi salam replied, I saw in your heart that you still, the sin is still laziz. The sin is still delicious in your heart. There are some people who do this afar, but deep down in their minds and hearts, sinning is not something bad. They enjoy it, they like it. They keep on recalling the sin they did, and they keep on enjoying inside their minds, and enjoying and rejoicing, and finding it delicious. Imam Ridha alayhi salam said to that person that you are making fun of Allah because I saw in your heart your sin is still laziz and delicious in your heart. Now we realize why Imam alayhi salam says al-nadmu tawbatun. If we are repenting in our soul, just we have repentance, that means we will end up hating the sin in our heart. Not just, if we end up hating the sin in our heart and we are repenting from the souls, then we don't need to say astaghfirullah already. Because the repentance, which is the essence, is already there. So, shaitan has been trying very hard to derail the human beings away, so we don't do the tawbah and keep on delaying it. And delaying of the tawbah is from shaitan. Anytime you find, if we do a sin and don't do the tawbah immediately, that's the second sin. So we do two sins. Scholars of Allah say that we did two sins. One sin is the sin itself, and the second is delaying of the tawbah. There are two sins. And this is from shaitan. And Prophet was so much haris and greedy towards forgiveness and mercy of Allah towards his nation. So much his towards the rahmat. He is so much into the rahmat of Allah towards his nation. We find when the time of death of the Prophet arrived, this is the most superior human that is now departing this planet. Look at the arrangements of Allah. The angels of Allah are there. Israel is there. He's still not ready. He cannot take the soul of the Prophet out. So Prophet is waiting for Jibreel to come. Big personalities need to be escorted. Isn't that right? They have escorts. So Prophet has his own escorts. He's waiting for Jibreel to arrive. And the narration tells us, when Jibreel arrives, Prophet said to him, go and say my salam to Allah and say to him, what is the status of my ummah? That means before the Prophet departs this dunya, he cares about the forgiveness of his ummah. So before he leaves, he is asking, sending his message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let him know what would happen to his ummah. He has nothing to worry about himself. Every prophet of God, when he would be resurrected on the day of judgment, we learn in the hadith that every prophet would be saying, nafsi, nafsi. That means, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Caring about his own self. The only prophet of God, when he would be resurrected on the day of judgment, who will not be saying nafsi, nafsi, caring about his own self. Instead, he would be saying ummati, ummati. What's going to happen to my ummah? What's going to happen to my... He's caring about the ummah. It's our holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged our Holy Prophet, and his presence itself provides us the opportunity to do the tawbah. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam finally himself mentions the ayat. Remember what I was telling you, the story when Imam Ali posed this question to his ashab, ayyu ayatin arja fi kitab Allah, which ayat of Quran is the most hope giving, hope providing in the book of God? And that's where, after the responses of the companions were incorrect, that's where Imam Ali al-Islam mentions his response. He said, this ayat of Quran talks about the ayat of Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ النَّهَارِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلزَّاكِرِينَ. So this ayat of Holy Quran is mentioned by Imam Ali al-Islam as the most hope ensuring, hope providing ayat for the humankind, for us. So why is that so? This Quran, this ayat of Quran talks about prayers. Install the prayers. Aqim as-salata tarafay an-nahari. You know, on both sides of the day. That means at the beginning and the end, both sides of the day. And wazulafam min al-layl. That means the beginning time of the night. So this ayat of Quran is basically talking about the prayers. So what Imam Ali al-Islam is informing us, that he heard from the Holy Prophet saying that prayers is like a stream, a creek. It's just like if someone among you has a creek running just next door outside your house, as you step out of your door, you find there's a freshwater creek running out of your door. And you take a bath in that creek 5 times a day. Prophet has said, Hal yabqa, is there gonna be any dirt remaining on the body? Similarly, when we pray 5 times a day, we get cleaned up from the sins. Please say salawat. So the first thing, brothers and sisters, is that we consider the salat to be not just a fariza or burden on our neck, but a ni'mat of Allah that guarantees our spiritual cleanliness and our forgiveness. That every day we get forgiven when we can, and we pray, we get forgiven. There's nothing to worry about. And the second thing which Allah mentioned to Prophet Musa alayhi salam was zakat. Prophet Musa had asked Allah, رَبِّ بِمَا فَضَّلْتَ أُمَّةَ آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ. Oh my Lord, why did you give fadilat and superiority to the nation of the final time over all the nations? And Allah mentioned the first thing was prayers. And the second thing is taxes. Zakat. So we need to be particular about paying the taxes on time. إِنَّ الْمَالَ خُلِقَ لِلْإِنْفَاقِ لَا لِلْإِمْسَاقِ. Money, to begin with, was created to be spent, not created to be kept. That's how the money was created to be. So we find one faqir person comes to the Holy Prophet, and Prophet said, I swear to God, if you had given your zakat, if you had given your tax, you would not be faqir. The reason why we become faqir, to begin with, is because we did not pay our Islamic taxes. There is no way a person who pays the Islamic taxes, but he still ends up becoming a poor person. Because you cannot challenge the hadith of the Prophet. It's confirmed hadith of the Prophet that sadaqah keeps 70 bala away from you. There's no question about that. And obviously zakat and giving away the Islamic taxes is going to guarantee that we will not be faqir and poor. One person comes to the Prophet and says that Mali la uhibbul maut. What happened to me that I don't love death? Look at the question. And Prophet replies to him, Alaka malan? Do you have money? He says, yes, I do. Prophet said, Qaddimhu. Send it forth. Then spend the money and send it forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, last puppy, I can't do that. And that's where the Prophet said, فَإِنَّ قَلْبَ الرَّجُلْ مَعَ مَالِهِ. Because the heart of a person is with his money. فَإِنْ قَدَّمَهُ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَلْحَقَ بِهِ. If he gives the money, if he sends the money forth, ahead, he loves to join that. When you are sending your money ahead, you would love to join all the rewards that you are waiting for you. Because that's your real investment. You count that to be your investment. وَإِنْ أَخَّرَهُ, if he delays in the spending of the money, you know, he would أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَتَأَخَّرَ مَعَهُ. He would love to get delayed with his money. So it's all about money. الدُّنْيَا بِالْأَمْوَالِ, isn't that right? وَالْآخِرَةُ بِالْأَعْمَالِ. Dunya is with the money, and akhirat is with the amal. Please say salawat. If you turn to the life history of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, whenever he used to distribute the money of Baytul Mal, the national treasury, he used to pray two rakats of prayers then and there, every time. Two rakats of prayers then and there after distributing the money of Baytul Mal. And then he used to address Allah, the earth, Ishhadi, be a witness, Anni mala'tuki bihaqqin wa farraqtuki bihaqq. I have filled you up with righteousness and I emptied you with righteousness. So one person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and he was handing the Baytul Mal. What he did, he took some money of Baytul Mal and put it on one side. And when Imam Ali was done giving the Baytul Mal, the money of the national treasury, to the deserving people of the Ummah, Islam has its own comprehensive social security system. So when Imam Ali was done distributing the money to the deserving people, this person tried to give that money that he put aside and give it to Imam Ali. Islam, this is for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Some people simply don't understand what Imam Ali is, who Imam Ali is, and what Allah is, who Allah is. They don't understand. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said, you want to, you know, you want to basically fill up, you know, their stomach with the fire? Is that what you want? That means you want to fill up the stomach of my kids with the fire? So Imam Ali alayhi salam, is not even ready to think on those lines about that. Abdullah ibn Abbas never eat up the money of Baytul Mal. Abdullah ibn Abbas was the wali and governor of Imam Ali and one of the regents. He never ate up the money. He just delayed in paying the money of Baytul Mal to the deserving people. Just delayed. So look at Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that if you don't do that, if you don't, in other words, give the money to the deserving people, ثُمَّ مَكَّنِيَ اللَّهُ مِنْكَ لَأَضْرِبَنَّكَ, and then Allah gives me power over you, I'm gonna hit your neck with the same sword that I never hit anybody with this sword except that he lands in the hell. Look at the tone of Imam Ali alayhi salam, how he's talking to Abdullah ibn Abbas, who's such a close companion of his own. He's a Shia. He's Imam Ali's own governor. But there is no favoritism when it comes to principles. Imam Ali al-Islam is so strict in his justice. That's why people hated Imam Ali al-Islam, because of his justice. He never did any injustice. People didn't like that justice. So we find Imam Ali al-Islam says, and then in our scholars say, the next statement coming after it was to console. Console Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas. The same Abdullah Ibn Abbas for whom Imam Ali has said, Mule'a ilman. This guy is full of knowledge. He learned tafsir of Quran from Imam Ali alayhi salam, isn't it right? Throughout the night, Abdullah Ibn Abbas was learning the tafsir of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim only. For Imam Ali alayhi salam was just doing the tafsir of one verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then the time came close to the Fajr. You know, so basically it has to end, the session has to end. So he learned so much. Our Sunni brothers, their entire knowledge of tafsir they are doing in their books, it all gets back to Abdullah ibn Abbas. He is the prime source of all the tafsir. And obviously he's the student of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So the slave Abdullah ibn Abbas, who has such a high status, even in the eyes of Imam Ali al-Salam, he has a high status. But look at how Imam Ali says to him, for delaying the money, not just eating up the money. And then Imam Ali says that even if Hassan and Hussein had done that, nothing would have provided a protection to them from me, in other words. Obviously, Imam Hussein would never do that. But the scholars said this is how Imam Ali is consoling Abdullah ibn Abbas. So Imam Ali is so strong in his principles. So this is about the zakat that obviously, when I talked to some people, some youths who start their job, and I asked them, when did you start your first job? They don't even remember the day of the year when they started their first job. Isn't that surprising? When you don't remember the day one when you started your first job after becoming Islamically mature, then how in the world will you calculate your khums? Because your khums is automatically wajib. Let's suppose you started your first job on 1st of February, you know, and the next year when the 1st of February arrives, that's automatically your date of khums. But a person doesn't even remember when he started his first job. What does it show? They show how much importance we are giving to our khums calculation. Isn't that right? So, this is our behavior towards zakat and Islamic taxes. Zakat in the literal sense of the word, all inclusive of all the Islamic taxes, be it khums, or be it the fitrah, or be it all the zakat which is liable to those who are living in the villages. So, basically all the taxes. We need to be particular about that. Prophet has said, I swear to Allah, if you to the faqir, per poor person, if you had given the taxes, the tax, zakat, you would never be faqir. You would not be faqir. Sure. So that's the reason why we end up becoming poor, precisely because we did not give away the tax and zakat of our money. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
What to talk of the situation when we start feeding haram to our kids? Ayatullah al-Uzma, Ayatullah Sheikh Fazlullah al-Duri, Shaheed Rahmatullah alayh, who was crucified in Tehran in the time of the Tahut. And when he was about to be crucified, you know who came forward to put the rope in his neck? His own son. His own son came forward to put the rope in the neck of his mujtahid father. And when somebody asked him, that, what's the reason that your son is doing like this? And he said, because I had to send my son to a woman for breastfeeding. I did not know at that time. Later on I discovered that she was one of the Nawasib, one of the Nasibi women who have hatred towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is the impact. This is the impact. Every food that we consume, you are what you eat. Every loaf of bread has its own impact. Peace be upon you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Haydari.
The next thing, the third thing that Allah mentioned to Prophet Musa when he asked, why did you give the fadilat and superiority to the ummah of the final time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after salat and zakat, prayers and taxes, Islamic tax, the next third thing he mentioned was fasting. We already discussed about fasting, I don't want to elaborate on that tonight. But basically, when we are fasting, we get our sins forgiven. When the Eid al-Fitr arrives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically, in other words, saying to us that you start your actions anew. All your previous sins are now forgiven. So, this is the status of our fasting. Fourth of all is Hajj, which is also wajib. This is one of the reasons, brothers and sisters, why our nation is superior to all the previous nations in the history of humanity. That we have been awarded with the ni'mat of Hajj. And this blessing of Hajj empowers, just like the fasting, empowers us to be forgiven. When a person returns back from Hajj, he's just like a person who is recently born from the womb of his mother. كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. So this time the day when his mother birthed him. And we learn in light of the hadith that the noor of Hajj
See, every ibadat has a nur. Salat has a specific nur, specific illumination and intensity of nur, and light is coming from your soul if you pray. And when you pray more, you have more nur. Is that right? Every ibadat has one specific nur in sync with the type and sincerity level of your ibadat and worship. So Hajj has its own level of nur, and that nur of the Hajj stays on that person ma lam yulimma bi dhanbin, as long as he did not commit a sin. When the first sin is committed after doing the Hajj, the nur of Hajj is now gone from the soul. As long as we can maintain ourselves not to do the sin, we will be carrying the nur of Hajj with us. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now we can imagine how much nur Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam has. Doing the ibadat, every moment of his life, doing the ibadat and worships of Allah without any sin, without any tarkul awla. And it makes sense to realize in a logical way, not an emotional way, the logical way how our imams are the nur of the heavens and earth. The entire heavens and earth, salawat and ard, is surviving because of the unseeable pillar. Samma amadan la taronaha. There is a pillar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been, you know, holding the heaven and sky not to fall down. Sky doesn't have any pillar, any visible pillar. Isn't it right? The hadith informs us the pillar of the sky. Why the sky is not falling down is the imam of your time. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam alayhi salam. Bikum yumsiku samaa an taqa'a ala al-ard. It's through you that Allah holds the heaven not to fall on earth. Illa bi-iznihi, except with His permission. So this is how Imam alayhi salam obviously deserves to enjoy that high level because of his nuraniyat. So we find the next thing is obviously Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, the next thing is jihad. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam has established some of the highest levels of jihad in his life. Anybody who joins the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam will get the reward of jihad. And the majlis of Imam Hussein, our urafa say, has the largest magnitude of conversions. Largest number of human beings who got hidayat of Allah and guidance from God was through the Majlis al-Aza, through Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Awaaz-e buland salaam. Salaam.
If you find out all the good deeds that Islam has propagated, and you make a graph, and your graphic depiction of which of the good deeds of Islam has benefited how many people in the Islamic in the world, and you find the Majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein himself, his personality, has the highest graph of providing hidayat and guidance to the largest number of people in the history of humanity. That's why our scholars say we're not supposed to block anybody from coming into the Majlis of Imam Hussein, even though he may be a sinner. Doesn't matter. That's why we get erased from the sins. That's why we improve. That's why we learn how to do tawbah. There's a story that one of the teacher was mentioning that one head of the an Islamic organization or anjuman, he did not allow somebody was an extremely bad person and known to the community a bad sinner, and he didn't allow him to come into his organization's program of the Majlis al-Adha. And then he sees in a dream that he went to Karbala for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he was not allowed to enter into the haram of Imam Hussein. He was allowed into the haram of Karbala. And when he asked, why am I not allowed? He said, because you did not allow our dog to enter into the Majlis. This is not a surprising statement. You know, my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah said that, you know, about talking about himself, that Sagikuye Walayat, I am a dog of the alley of Walayat. When our mujtahideen call themselves like this towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, then who are we? Even if they allow us to have that kind of status, it is still, you know, we still have a connection with the Ahlul Bayt. Peace say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Then we are coming to the end. The sixth thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Prophet Musa was Salat al-Jum'ah. And obviously, and then the next one was Salat al-Jum'ah. Obviously, Salat al-Jum'ah is so important and so unique in Islam, but it is significant for us to remember that we should participate only in those of the Jum'ah prayers where the Imam al-Jum'ah is ahl and deserving to lead the Jum'ah. Because Imam al-Jum'ah is basically standing in the place of Imam Sahib al-Zaman.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Why do we find some people participating in those Jum'ah prayers where the second sermon is never political? Are you trying to reinvent the wheel? We are not Yahud and Nasara. Come on, we are Shias. Alhamdulillah, we are the Shias of Imam Ali Islam. We are not here to change the Sharia. Are we reinventing the wheel? The Sharia of Imam Sadiq al-Islam informs us that the second sermon has to be political. And that much is known to Saddam Hussein, la'natullahi alayhi. Isn't it right? Saddam knew that much, that's why he put a ban on the Salat al-Jum'ah in the entire country of Iraq. Because he knew if I allow it, then second sermon is political in Islam, somebody likes it or not, that's the way Islam is. Then they're going to talk against my government, let's put a ban on Salat al-Jum'ah in the entire country. So this much, even Saddam could understand about the religion of Islam, that some of the people still don't understand. Actions speak louder, so they are participating in those of the Jum'ah prayers where there is no mention of the fara'id as-siyasiyya wal-ijtima'iyya, the social and political duties of Islam, as if it is not part of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. Our ummah has been given the superiority because of Jum'ah prayers.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Amen! Nare Hadari! Husnude Imam Zamana Bulant Salawat! Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we find the next one is Salat is Jamaat, which obviously, as I won't elaborate on that. And the eighth one is Quran. And I also mentioned a little bit about Quran in one of the previous speeches, so I won't elaborate except one thing, that the Holy Quran has triple responsibilities on our neck, brothers and sisters. It's the job of the father, not the mother. It's the job of the father in Islam to make sure that his sons and daughters learn the Holy Quran. Because Prophet has said, لَنَا حَقُّ الْوَلَدْ عَلَىٰ وَالِدِهِ أَنْ يُحَسِّنَ إِسْمَهُ وَيُحَسِّنَ أَدَبَهُ يُحَسِّنَ أَدَبَهُ يُعَلِّمَهُ الْقُرْآنِ. It's the job of the, it's the right of the child on the neck of the father that he gives him a good name, teaches him etiquettes, Islamic morality, and teaches him Quran. That's the job of the father to make sure. So, you know, if the child or son or daughter doesn't know even how to read Quran properly, we have triple responsibilities towards Quran. Learning to recite it correctly. Second of all, learning its meanings. And third of all, practicing the contents. If we don't even got past the step number one of reading it properly, then obviously it is pathetic for a Muslim. The ninth of all is what is Ashura. The ninth thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Prophet Musa, why the ummah of the Prophet have been given superiority over the previous nations, is Ashura. And when Allah mentioned that, Prophet Musa alayhi salam inquired from Allah that, you know, Ya Rabbi, wa man Ashura? Oh my Lord, and what is Ashura? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, please pay attention, al-buka'u wa-tabaki, that means crying, or making a face like crying. That means you try, you do your effort, as if you are crying.
Well, Marcia, reading the poetry in the musibat and calamities that Imam Hussein faced, well, Aza, and holding the, you know, the Aza and the sorrow of Imam Hussein al-Islam, becoming sorrow, holding his Aza, ala musibate walad al-Mustafa, on about the musibat of the son of Mustafa. This is about Allah, how Allah explains Ashura to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So we find that Allah said, "Ma min abdin min abidi fi dhalika zaman." There is no servant of mine among my servants in that time. Baka aw abka wa ta'azza. Whoever cries or makes other people cry and did the aza and sorrow on the son of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, illa wa kanat lahul jannatu khalidan fiha. Except that he will have the paradise to stay in it forever. This is about the status of Ashura. That makes us one of the greatest, the greatest nations, not one of the greatest nations among all the previous nations. Then Allah said to Prophet Musa, "Ma min rajulin anfaqa maluhu fi mahabbati ibn bint al-Mustafa." There is no person who spends his money in the love of the son of the daughter of Mustafa. Ta'aman aw ghayra dhalika, be it food or anything other than that, dirhaman aw dinaran, a silver coin or a gold coin, dirham or dinar, illa barakta lahu fi darid dunya, except I'm going to give barakat to him in the house of this dunya, of dunya. Even in this life he's going to end up having barakat. Like I was saying last night, whatever we do for the sake of Imam Hussain al-Islam is full of barakat. Wa kana mu'afan fil jannah. And wa izzati wa jalali ma min rajulin aw imra'atin sala dam'u 'alayhi fi yawm al-ashura. I swear to my dignity and majesty, there is no man or woman whose tear, you know, of his both eyes are dropping on the day of Ashura, except illa katabta lahu ajra mi'ati alf shaheed. Except that I write down for him the reward of 100,000 shaheed. This is how the status of Ashura is. So we are blessed by Allah to be part of a nation where we have the concept of Ashura, to fulfill our obligations towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein has a lot of obligation on our neck, isn't it right? Because he made his announcement of Hal min Nasirin yansuruna. The announcement has already been made. And none of the words of the Masoom can be invalidated. None of the words of Islam can be invalidated. So those words are still knocking our ears and shaking our conscience to wake up and live up to the expectations of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam.
Labbaik ya Hussein!
Labbaik ya Hussein!
Labbaik ya Hussein!
Labbaik ya Hussein!
Say it loud! Labbaik ya Hussein!
Labbaik ya Hussein!
Labbaik ya Hussein!
Labbaik ya Hussein!
Hussein yaar!
Zindabad!
Hussein yaar!
Zindabad!
Yazid yaar!
Murdabad!
Nare Hajri!
Ya Hajri!
So we find that in the profile of the people in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what was missing was nothing but the walayat, the hukumat, the government. Government of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Our farais and duties towards the government. Governmental duties towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Not that they become tariq al-salat or tariq al-sawm. No, people were fasting. Even on the day of Ashura, Ashqiya were fasting on the other side. And somebody even said this there in the history, "Can Hussain quicker? Our Asr prayers is becoming qala." Isn't there a thought-provoking statement for us that we stop considering the hollow prayers of some people to be sufficient, hollow without the walayat? The whole, the essence of the entire, the root and essence of the entire religion Islam is the walayat of Ahlul Bayt al-Salam. That we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing towards the political duties towards Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam to relieve him from his pains against his enemies today? Instead of focusing, when we think to ourselves that I'm praying too, I'm fasting too, I'm not a bad person. Now this is what everybody else was also doing. Almost everybody else was doing that. But this kind of Islam of Kufa, this kind of Kufi Islam without the walayat is allowing Imam Hussein to get slaughtered. Islam without walayat allows the Imam of the time to get slaughtered. So are we here to follow the same Islam minus walayat? To allow the Imam of our time to get the same hard time like the Imam of that time, Imam Hussein had faced? Isn't enough is enough? 11 of the Imams have been killed. Isn't it right? Imam Khalid al Islam had already said, "Inna Allah ghadaba ala Shia." Allah became angry on the Shia. فَخَيَّرَنِي نَفْسِي أَوْ هُمْ. Allah gave me two options. In other words, either I protect myself or them. فَوَقَيْتُهُمْ وَاللَّهِ بِنَفْسِي. I swear to Allah, I protected them by sacrificing my life. So Imam Khalid al Islam sacrificed himself to protect the Shia community. Shias were not protecting the Imam, they were protecting their own lives. Our Imams have been protecting Islam and the community. The community were not protecting the Imam, they were silent in front of the zulm of the Tawhuts. And just keep on praying and fasting, and homes and hijab and stuff, and consider themselves to be nice, without the walayat. This Islam deserves to be cursed. We send a la'nat on this Islam, Islam of Kufa, without the walayat.
For the safety of Imam Zamana, please recite loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For the listening of the return of Imam Zamana, please recite loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For the relieving of the pain of oppressed people of Palestine and all the oppressed people in the world, Bahrain and other, please recite loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For the freedom of Baitul Muqaddas, please recite loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For the safety and long life of all Maraji Ikram, especially Waliya Faqih Ayatullah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, please recite loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is our responsibility, brothers and sisters, as we are commemorating the azab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that we live up to the expectation of the Imam of our time towards the walayat. That was missing in the time of 11 Imams, and that is still missing in today's times. Responsibilities towards the walayat, not the prayers, not the fasting. That was missing. So let's not allow the same missing link to be there further as today we are commemorating the Ashura. This is the lesson we take away from the Ashura. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam gets isolated, surrounded because of the Islam minus walayat. You know, it's not only Yazid who killed the Imam, it's the silence of the people of Kufa, which is part of the crime of killing the Imam. Let's be fair. Those people who were silent and wrote letters to the Imam, those 24,000 people or 18,000, except those who did the Tawbah later on, they are part of the crime along with Yazid la'anatullahi alayh. So let's not repeat the history like this. The Imam Hussein al-Islam, finally, when the Asr of Ashura passes away and Zuljanah, the horse of Imam, returns back and the ladies come out and the ladies surround the Zuljanah. The Zuljanah, the horse is surrounded by the ladies. So the horse returns, but the rider of the horse is not there. Imam Hussein is not there. What happened to the ladies? The narration says that 84 ladies and kids came out from the Qiyam. 84. And obviously, there's nobody to take care of them. Hazrat Zainab became Imam Hussein, playing the role of Imam Hussein,
like Imam Hussein, on the footsteps of Imam Hussein, as if Hazrat Zainab became Imam Hussein after the Asr of Ashura. This is the azamat of Hazrat Zainab. We find when the Ashqiya were burning the Qiyam tents, and the ladies were running from one khaymah, one tent to the other to protect their hijab. Finally, Hazrat Zainab goes to the tent of Imam Sajjad, the Imam of her time, asks the religious ruling from him, shall we get burnt alive or we go out? And Imam allows her to go out. And that's why the ladies came out. La tematil wujud, la sharatil shu'ur, hitting their faces and spread their hair, were obviously was uncovered. The Ashqiya had already taken the chadar and the hijab from them. Hazrat Fatima bint al-Husayn says, I was running to protect my hijab. There was one shaggy person running behind me. And obviously, this person had actually hit Hazrat Fatima bint al-Husayn, the daughter of Imam Hussein, with the spear on her back, with the spear, and he took the hijab with the tip of the spear, and she became unconscious. When she opened up her eyes after a while, she discovered that her head is in the lap of her aunt Hazrat Zainab. And she asked Hazrat Zainab about her hijab, where is her hijab? And Hazrat Zainab replies, Ammatuki Misluki, that means your aunt is similar to you. She doesn't have the hijab either. Her hijab was already taken away by another shaqi person. This is how the ladies were. And now, brothers and sisters, Shamil Ghariba has arrived. You are all sitting under the roof, alhamdulillah. You are sitting on nice wall-to-wall carpet, alhamdulillah. But the daughters of Ali and Fatima, the daughters of Ali and Fatima don't have the carpet or the ceiling to be sitting there comfortably. They are sitting on the sands of the desert. There is no roof on the top of the daughters of Ali and Fatima. And they are sitting in the desert, in all the scary situation. And Imam Sajjad, you know, what Islam has said, how are we supposed to behave towards the ill people? Our religion teaches us, we need to go for the iyadat, asking, inquiring about the well-being of the sick person. Look at how this ummah was doing the behavior towards Imam Sajjad. Beating him with sashes and putting the bed underneath the imam and beating him with sashes and slapping the face of Hazrat Sakina and slapping her face and taking the hijab off of the ladies. This is how they treated. Hazrat Firza comes and informs Hazrat Zainab that I have a big news for you. And she replies, I don't have any big news after the shahadat of my brother, in other words. And she says that they are trying to crush the janaza of Imam Hussein with the hoofs of the horses. فَقَامَ عَشْرُ مِنَ الْفَوَارِسِ. 10 of the horses were prepared. 10 of the horses were prepared. The new hoofs, new things were installed in their feet so they can crush the janaza of Imam Hussein. Because people of different tribes came forward later on and they took the janaza and corpses of different shuhada to their tribes. The only janaza, brothers and sisters, the only janaza that was lying there on the Maidan of Karbala, which was not taken away by any tribe, not held by any tribe, was the janaza of the son of Fatima. The janaza of Imam Hussein is the only one lying there. For 3 days, the janaza is lying there without ghusl and kafan. This is the behavior the Ummah has done towards the son of the Prophet. And we find that finally, the water arrived after a while. Before the water arrives, Hazrat Zainab started to collect all the kids. Because obviously it was a very chaotic situation and she could not find Hazrat Sakina. You know how much beloved Hazrat Sakina was? How beloved she was to Imam Hussein. Now Hazrat Zainab goes out towards the desert and she's calling Sakina and there is no response. She's finding and searching Hazrat Sakina. Finally, Hazrat Zainab finds that Sakina is lying over the chest of a janaza, over a body without the head. And when she asked the Sakina, why, how did you discover this is the janaza of your father? So she understood, obviously, this is the body of Imam Hussein. So Hazrat Zainab finally collected all the kids. Now, she collected all the kids after a while when the water came. And now Hazrat Zainab is distributing the water. Hazrat Zainab is distributing the water. And it is said that whoever is the youngest is going to get the water first. Isn't that right? In Islam, we always serve to the young boys and girls and kids first. The youngest ones get the water first. So when Hazrat Sakina gets the water first, she takes the water and starts walking towards the desert. And when she was asked, where are you going? She said, that didn't you say that the water has to be given to the youngest? I need to take the water to my brother Eliezer. Sakina is taking the water towards his brother Eliezer, because Eliezer is younger than her. Now the water has arrived, and then the time arrived. Some of the scholars have narrated that when the night time arrives, and Hazrat Zainab, there's no way, there's no place for the ladies to go. And then sitting in the sands of the desert, under the sky, and Hazrat, now there is a rider, somebody riding the horse coming towards these ladies. Hazrat Zainab cannot tolerate that, and she stood there. She started to say to that rider, to ask him to stop, and the rider is not stopping. The rider is continuously coming towards the ladies. Look at the jalal and shajaat and courage of Hazrat Zainab. Look at the courage of Hazrat Zainab. She is constantly opposing it, and finally, when Imam Ali comes close to the lady, close to Hazrat Zainab, and introduces himself to Hazrat Zainab. You know, my heart thinks, that's the thinking of my heart, and Mother Nabi, Hazrat Zainab had said these statements to his, her father, Mawla, Baba, why didn't you come at the time when my brother Hussein was standing alone in the desert of Karbala, isolated from all the sides? Why didn't you come at the time when he was carrying Eliezer in his hands, walking a few steps forward, then moving backwards? Why did you come at that time when Ali Akbar became Shaheed? Imam Hussein was putting his cheek over the cheek of Ali Akbar. Ala dunya ba'daka nafa. Why did you come at that time when Qasim ibn Hasan was killed? Ala